against the odds in some places, but we are back on the field. And coach, the thoughts about my goodness, since around this time last week, you know, we only had about 7 or 8 games played, and a lot of games were played Saturday. A lot of logistics and things have changed, but when something comes through like what we've had to deal with, you know, you have no way of preparing for it. We said this last Friday night. A lot of things in your manual or your how-to had nothing for no page for this.
Yeah, nothing you can do about that, Sam. It's been a wild 10 days or so for, you know, these high school teams. And, of course, that's what you're going to do when there's all the other things happening in the area that are more important. But had games played on Saturday last week, had games played on Monday of this week.
Yeah.
So some teams played on Monday, turn around playing tonight, you know. And so we're back kind of to normal tonight. And that's exciting. It's October.
Yep.
Okay. They'll ever tell you all the time, Sam, when the month changes, the intensity has to ramp up. It's October now. It's festival season.
Yes.
You know that? We got the Marble Festival in Pickens County. You know, I was on the Chamber of Commerce board.
You really?
Does
it mean you get to ride in a convertible?
No, listen, I'm the MC of the parade.
Whoa, the MC?
The MC. Did you know that, Dom? I'm an MC of a parade. So add to my resume.
Yes.
I'm the MC of the parade. So if you're not busy tomorrow, you come out.
Now you're telling me something about the marble, because I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Listen, the Lincoln Memorial is made with marble from Pickens County.
No way.
Absolutely. So we're going. You can go down in the mine, Sam, at the Marble Festival. You go in there and see how they get the marble, learn about the marble. And, of course, we got, like, you know, the festival stuff. They got the vendors and the candy apples.
Yeah,
and whatever it is.
Funnel cake.
Meat on a stick, funnel cake, whatever it is people eat. You know, but it's that season.
Yes,
And so that season also means region football games, big-time football games, and we're getting closer to it really being big here in the next month or so.
Yep. Temperatures drop. Some of the leaves are going to start changing. It's dark a little bit sooner. It is that time of year, folks. And, of course, here in the Scoreboard Show, we're going to let you know about all the games that are happening in the area. We got a full crew working tonight. My goodness, we got Day-Day Lewis. He's all the way down in Henry County. Got a big game there with Stockbridge taking on Ola. Garrett Chapman's going to be right next door to him over in Fayette County. Got Central Carrollton taking on Stars Mill. Eric Slaughter's going to be out to the west up in Hiram. They got Cedartown coming in out there. Ball game out there. Simone Stanley's going to join us tonight. Woodward Academy's playing down at Tri-City. She's going to be on Southside for that one. And we got a couple of Cub reporters going to check in with us. We got Brooks Garland from North Gwinnett going to check in. They're hosting Peachtree Ridge tonight. And we got Amaya Scott from Eagles Landing. They're hosting Eagles Landing Christian. Just a lot of people we're going to hear from, you know, in games.
Right, we got them everywhere.
Everywhere. We got the area covered. We got
it covered. We're back to normal. We got the full team assembled. We got Dom in the house.
Give me Dom here.
We're ready to go. It's a big time Friday in October, Sam. Let's go.
If we want to do it. We want to do it for sure. It's been an amazing week when we think about things that took place even last Saturday. Since like Appalachia is back on the field.
I heard that The Rock.
Yes.
Is going to be in attendance.
Yeah, tonight, they're home. I think their game is going to be streamed by GPB.
Is it really? Okay, good. Appalachia at home for the first time since the tragedy there early September, so about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't see the video, there's a video of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, having the team, I think, at his movie shoot maybe in Atlanta somewhere. And that was a few weeks ago. And he told them, first home game, I'm there. And as I heard, it's reported to me that The Rock has come back to Appalachia.
Man, that's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome night. Awesome around the areas. Like you said, it's that time of year. Some folks are celebrating homecoming, you know, and I think one of our Cup reporters is actually on the homecoming court.
On the homecoming court.
You know.
And going to be a reporter.
There are some pictures that you can't outrun.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them is like homecoming, graduation, prom. Yeah. You know, you don't know how people come up with those pictures, but somehow they always find them.
You cannot fight that. I tried, but let me trust me, personally me, and professionally,
me,
I've
me
learned.
Too.
You can't run from the homecoming pictures, the prom pictures, the graduation pictures, whatever. This time of year is homecoming.
Yep.
So the coaches out there are getting frustrated because the kid that's playing quarterback for him is on the homecoming court, and he's got to go stand out there at halftime, and they're trying to be in the locker. Just let it go, guys.
Yep.
Let it go. Don't fight it.
I know some coaches.
Let it go.
I know some coaches just.
It's easy to say that in my seat.
Yeah, right. I know coaches that dread just dread homecoming weeks. Homecoming is not for you. It's for the alumni. It's not for you. For them to coming back. You better not win the game. You better not lose the game.
But see, then you got somebody like Seckinger.
Yep.
If homecoming can't be about the alumni.
They have.
I bet they got. Sure, they got one, though. Everybody got a homecoming, Sam, because they need the pictures and the parade, maybe.
Yep.
And the dance.
Yep. They need those things.
So but they heard you say all that, but they're not listening. The homecoming's about these kids right now.
You can't come home if you never left yet. What's but we're gonna have second time joining us on the program. We're gonna talk to him at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. Is Dr. Tim Scott. Decision was made this week, Chris, to extend the regular season and bring playoffs back on the week that we thought we weren't gonna have playoffs, and that is the week of November 29th, which is Thanksgiving week, to try to get these games in. And even with that, we still may have some teams playing twice a week just to get them all in, because we play like Augusta, but the power's still in on at the schools. And the power's not on at the schools, you're definitely not going to be playing any games.
Yeah, it's just been devastating, some of the areas here. And, of course, some of the areas in North Carolina we hear about were hit even worse, right? Yeah, and so, first off, those people affected, they got bigger things to worry about, right? But if you want to get back to it, yeah, it's going to be hard. And fortunately for the GHSA this year, and fortunately for fans like us, there was a built-in extra week because of the way the SEC championship fell. And that's what people didn't realize. That wasn't something the GHSA did to give people a week off. The way the SEC championship fell, plus the way our ability to host the finals in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium made it where there was a middle gap in the playoffs, and so they chose to do it over Thanksgiving. Well, now that Thanksgiving week is going to just be a regular week. So instead of having the week off at Thanksgiving, the week off is basically at the end of the regular season. So that's an extra week for people to make up these games. I think that's the first week in November.
Yep.
And so I commend the decision. I mean, I think it affects way more teams. It helps way more teams than keeping it the other way. But truthfully, Sam, you've been covering high school football a long time. This is the only year we would have even had that option.
True.
And it's not necessarily something you would have next year either. It's really just an anomaly in the schedule that allowed us to do this. And so, yeah, I commend the guys for making that. Every decision you make is tough.
Yeah.
Affects things. So, yeah, but we've been complaining about not playing on Thanksgiving, and I guess we can't complain anymore.
And now it's back. But here's the question now, because we know on the November 29th, Georgia and Georgia Tech will play that evening. And so that's the other question. Do you want to play your game, or is there an option? Do you have to play the games on Friday night? Can you play them on Saturday, or could you play them Friday afternoon?
Can't play Thursday. That's Thanksgiving.
Can't play Thanksgiving Day. We're not going to do that.
Yeah,
but could you play Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon? I mean, Friday morning or Friday afternoon?
That'd be a good question for Dr. Scott. I don't know if that's even an option. In the playoffs, there's a little less flexibility usually. They usually tell you when you need to play. But, yeah, it obviously will go head-to-head with Georgia and Georgia Tech. The Tech's playing a little better this year, maybe a little high game. But, you know, just a lot of good football is all I heard. We're going to sit here in the Kia studio on that day. We're going to put that Georgia and Georgia Tech game on one of these TVs.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about
high school football. That's what we're going to do. Well, that's the thing. And also, even if you have a player who's a recruit for one of those that's been invited to be at that game and it can't go unattended. I mean, obviously, he's playing on his high school team. And if his team is still active, still competing at that time, he's going to play.
And that is a little bit – I mean, it's a very small group of people affected that way. But there are some of your higher-profiled recruits that – playing on Saturday in the regular season, or in that case, playing on the day of the game, does affect their ability to go to the game. So we had last week a lot of games on Saturday, and I think we brought it up on our show last week, and I think IJ did too, that some of the guys that were planning on going to the UGA-Alabama game weren't able to go because their game got moved to Saturday. But there's plenty of other opportunities to watch the Tide, you know, beat Georgia. I mean, there's plenty of other opportunities. I had to slip it in. I made it all the way to 7:13.
Dom got a little smile.
Who has 7:13 on the pool? You know, like
a little bit of grin that came on his face. There, you know, he made it for as long as he could.
It was a good game. This week.
He made it for as long as he could. I can't wait for IJ to get.
Sam, we're all dogs this week. Okay, we're all dogs.
Play at Auburn.
They're playing Auburn. We are all dogs this week. Go dogs.
See. Folks, hey, you know, we're just getting started tonight because we're going to find out when would you rather play? Would you rather play Friday night?
Yeah, Friday night, 7:30.
You keep it Friday night?
Yeah. If you're a coach. Now, I mean, you're asking me if I'm the football coach, I want to play at the same time we always play, and if nobody shows up to watch, I don't care because I just want to win the game. And I think winning the game, you always feel like you're going to play your best when you're in your regular routine. Now, maybe if I'm principal or AD or superintendent, maybe you think something a little differently because you're trying to placate a lot of different things, right? But I think coaches would rather play at the time they always play. So we're in the state quarterfinals.
Yep.
If you're in that game now, there's only eight teams left, and after tonight, there's only going to be four.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I want to have the best chance I can get in that final four.
Yep. You're going to stick with your routine. Okay. All right. It's up, like I said, top of the hour, we're going to talk with Dr. Tim Scott, Executive Director of Georgia High School Association, all about that. All stay tuned this hour. We're going to have the coaches' checklist. We're going to check in with I.J. Rosenberg. They have an interesting matchup tonight. Creekview against Sprayberry is the matchup for Score Atlanta tonight. He's going to join us with this hour. School Day's guest, the Buford High School legend, Tim Wansley. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Coming up next, we're going to get you all set and previews from our games that are coming up. We're 15 minutes away from kickoff on this Friday night. It is the Scoreboard Show, High School Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
High School's Football Scoreboard Show.
Friday night, Under the Lights. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Crenshaw, Chris Parker, 9 floors up at our Midtown Atlanta studios on this Friday night. Hope all is well wherever you are around the area and that you're getting out to support the young people in your area. If they're playing high school football, special time of year, and especially weren't able to have the games last Friday night, so many of them getting them back on schedule. Hopefully you're out and supporting them, showing them a good time. Coach, we were talking about something special that happened out at McEachern High School last night, adding Coach Jimmy Dorsey's name to the field there. And a great, extremely great honor for him.
Yeah, well deserved. Coach Dorsey, a great coach, really made a mark at McEachern. Was there for a long time, established him as a dominant program. Couldn't think of a more deserving honor.
Absolutely, fantastic. And put his name on a place that looks like that. You guys haven't been out to McEachern and seen the setup they got.
That place is beautiful, man. Fantastic place.
It is. It truly is. We'll watch for them. And they got a big game tonight. They got one with Harrison.
Big region game.
Should be a big region game,
right? I mean, that's going to determine some seeding, possibly a region championship game.
So we watch for that one tonight. And ones you talk about, we're to the time of year when you watch out for games that could have, long-lasting impacts, games that are played. You talk about some that were played even several weeks ago that could have impacts
right.
on the way things shake
and
out.
There'll be more tonight, no doubt. Harrison and McEachern is definitely one of them where you're going to see – not only will the team that wins have control of the region, but they'll have the tiebreaker over the other. So you have room for error. So if Harrison beats McEachern, they would be 3-0 in the region. McEachern would be 2-1. That means McEachern needs to win every other game and hope that Harrison loses twice.
Wow.
It's a big difference to have that tiebreaker.
Difference.
You know, you think about the SEC this year, every team's not playing everybody.
Right.
So it's the tiebreakers aren't as powerful when you know you don't have it over every single team. You know, like Georgia may not be playing LSU and Alabama's not playing Texas and whatever. So, you know, you just don't have that. High school ball, we have regions, everybody plays everybody. And having that tiebreaker over that other team is huge.
Makes a difference. And we see the way their region stacks up. You got Hillgrove that is still undefeated, oh, by the way,
mm-hmm.
in that region. You talk about the teams that will have a difference and an impact on it down the road. Campbell got off to a good start. They're 0-2 in that region right now. But we watch and see. They may have a say-so also, or maybe get into that number four spot.
I tell you what they're not doing a lot in this region is driving.
No.
This region is schools that are very close to each other.
And I guess in an ideal world, that's kind of what you
that's what you want.
It's what you want, right?
Yeah, one of the main reasons that the state decided to go down to six classes, instead of last year we had a 7A, this year we don't have a 7A, there's only six classifications, was to give more bigger regions, less non-region, you know, non-region scheduling, but mainly for travel. They wanted to put people in natural geographic regions, and the more classifications you have, the more you see Pebble Brook in one class, South Cobb in the next one, right? Or Campbell in one class, Osborne in the next one, or McEachern in one class, Hillgrove in the next one. Well, you lower it, and they're all close enough in their enrollment that you get them all in the same class, and now they're all right down the street from each other playing each other. So that's fantastic.
That's what you see. Like you said, you know, well, I go back to the time when your regions were basically teams in your same county. They were right. Mixing them up, you know, back in the day. And now you'll see that a little bit different. But even so, you still want something that will be close by. You're able to establish those rivalries. More people can come to the game. Mm-hmm. We'll have an interest in them. We look at another region out that way. We know that Walton is in the same region with North Cobb, and they're undefeated at the top of their region, talking about 5 and 6A. But Cherokee is right there, and they've been a team that I guess some people may see as a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, how about Cherokee? 2-0 in the region, beat North Cobb 2 weeks ago. I mean, not beat North Paulding 2 weeks ago, and that was a big win for them. That went over North Paulding. I mean, it really moved them from like a possible playoff team to probably a playoff team now playing for position. Now, they've still got Walton and North Cobb coming up, so that's the tough part of the schedule. But tonight, trap game, Sam.
Trap game?
I love Cherokee. Got some friends that work there. Great place. Trap game for Cherokee. They play in Wheeler at Wheeler. Ooh. Wheeler's 1-5. You know, the kids read this stuff and they look at records. They see Wheeler's 1-5. What they don't know, those kids, is they lost by 1 point to Harrison. You know, they beat Marietta last week. That's their one. Like, they're not bad. They've just played a tough schedule. So if Cherokee plays well tonight, of course they're going to win. If they don't, upset alert.
Uh-oh.
With Cherokee looking ahead to that Walton North Cobb part, trying to really have that really special season. But new coach Adam Holly at Cherokee, his first-year coach, doing a great job of establishing a culture there and building their program. Yeah.
Looking at Region 7, 4A, and that's the region with Cartersville. We mentioned they're undefeated. Cedartown, we mentioned that. We're going to get a reporter out there. Eric Slaughter is going to be at their game. They're playing at Hiram tonight. Hiram also in that region. They're 2-0 in region play. Allatoona's come into that region this year. And then you got Cass. You know, they're 4-3 overall, 1-2. You know, only four, like you always say, somebody that's going to have a good record, going to have a good team, going to end up getting left out.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this region up, Sam. This is probably, I think, top to bottom, year in, year out, one of the tougher regions in the state. So this is 7-4A. Yeah, Cartersville and Cedartown, perennial state champ contenders, right, in the recent history. Yep. Cartersville for sure. But Hiram has been good. They're 2-0 tonight, getting their shot, right?
Yeah.
But you also got Allatoona and Cass and Dalton. And Dalton's 0-7 right now. That's an anomaly. But year in, year out, Dalton, one of the best programs in North Georgia, right?
You're right.
So Cass really make it a push. They got some injuries at Cass. It's not going quite how they want it to in the last couple
of weeks.
The
quarterback got hurt.
Yeah, quarterback's out. But overall, a great job by Steve Gates and his staff of making Cass relevant. Allatoona's won the state championship in the last decade, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about, I mean, Cartersville, Cedartown, Hiram, Allatoona, Cass, and Dalton being six teams that I'd say make the playoffs in 7 or 8 out of every 10 years, and only four of them can in this region. So the other, I guess the downside of moving from 7 to 6 classes is you obviously cut out 32 playoff teams, right?
Yeah.
32 less teams will make the playoffs. These are some of the ones that'll be left out, right? Like somebody in this region is getting left out that wouldn't have gotten left out last year.
Yep, yep. And, of course, Allatoona has Coach Brad Smith. He came over from Loganville, but he had been an assistant in this region.
He'd been an assistant at Calhoun, I think in Dalton. You know, Coach Smith's a great guy, doing some good things at Allatoona. They had the same coach for a long time, Coach Varner, and really trying to come into a new era there. And it's a good opportunity. But I'll tell you what, tough region.
Yep.
Tough region to try to figure it out for all these guys. I played most of these teams in my day. I got me some of Nick Chubb at Cedar Town, some of Cartersville many times. I know all about these guys.
that's that tough football. You start getting up that I-75 corridor that just has that reputation of playing some tough football down through the years. And, yeah, those are some of the ones that you talked about. They are still that, folks. This is the Scoreboard Show. And right now we've got games. We're about a minute away from kicking games off. We'll start having some scores coming in from around the area to tell you about some stories we'll be developing around some of those games tonight as well. And we got some games that were played last night. We got some finals already that are reported. Like you said, there's games that were played on Monday night. Some were played on Tuesday. It's amazing. And how do you do logistically to get your team turned around and ready to play again? We got Tuesday night. We had Centennial beat Chapel Hill 15-13. Tuesday night, Cedar Grove's a winner over Mount Zion Jonesboro 38-13.
That's Tuesday, 14. Too?
That's Tuesday. Because
are those teams playing tonight?
No, Cedar Grove plays tomorrow. The game with Stevenson is tomorrow.
Well, yes. Football, I mean, here's the thing. Two things can be true at the same time. It's not the end of the world for a high school kid, 16, 17, or 18, to recover and play a game on Tuesday and Friday. I mean, it can be done. We used to say it couldn't, but it can. But I don't think that's the best practice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think football inherently is physical, is violent, is tough. It takes a toll on you, and that's all the negative sides of football, which we've seen, unfortunately, some this year. And the more beat up you are physically, the more likely you are to be injured worse or more severe. And so I don't love the guys having to play close football games within two or three days of each other. I think football's meant to be played every 7 days or so. But we did see over COVID it could be done. And so I think, you play on both sides of that a little bit. There's a balance there of what is – we do need to obviously first do what's best for students and players. But, kids want to play too.
Absolutely.
You know, what's best for the kids sometimes, they want to play. They want to get those 10 games in. Because I'll tell you, at Chapel Hill and Centennial, Sam, those kids worked just as hard as Buford's kids in the offseason. They did. Don't let anybody tell you that one team worked harder. Everybody works hard, okay? So Chapel Hill's kids work really hard this offseason. They want to play 10 games, and I hope they get an 11th one, right?
Yeah.
They don't want to play 9 and forfeit one because of a storm. So if you can make it work for kids to go out there, I would rather lose the game than not play at all because the kids want to play. You know, they don't want to win forfeits.
Right.
They want to play football. So I think sometimes the adults have to remember that. We got to find as many ways to let these kids play football. But you also, obviously, got to put them in a safe situation.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that's happening by adding the extra week. Some teams are being moved. I'm looking now Centennial. They don't play. They don't have a game this Friday night. They play next Friday on the 11th against Cambridge. And that's going to be a big game for them. Is the rest of their schedule. That's shaping up to be a pretty tough, challenging region for them as well. Talking about 6-4A. As they get into region play, they got Cambridge, they got Cale, got Blessed Trinity and Westminster. My goodness, that's those are all going to be challenging games for them coming down the stretch in their region. So we're watching for those games as well. I'm seeing that right now the Jackson County game is underway and streaming. People can kind of observe that and seeing Appalachia back on the field and back playing on their home field. So I know people are excited in that community. Thankful that they've been able to get those young people back out there and bring some normalcy back, and give the people in the community something to be proud of.
Yeah, really exciting. I can't tell you how excited I am that these guys are getting to play at home tonight. And look, it's not the most important thing.
Yeah,
but to give these kids an opportunity to get back to normal, the best normal they can, mm-hmm. probably never back to what they knew normal as, but. Playing out there on Friday night, jumping around, chest bumping your buddies.
Yeah.
That's something, man. So it's exciting. I'm getting excited watching it here.
This is also Officials Appreciation Week. Is that correct? Fall Officiation. And you know what? We really got to appreciate the officials because they have had to be flexible here in the last week.
Well, you can't have the game without the officials.
Absolutely.
And so all these reschedules the official, too.
Yeah.
So they got to be flexible. They got to work with you. You got to work with them. They were planning on taking the wife out to, Outback or something, getting a little something nice. Maybe it's her birthday.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, the game got moved to Monday. Sorry, baby. We're going to have to move that dinner off your birthday. See, you don't think of stuff like that. People don't think of stuff like that, do they, Sam? But you just want them officials out there and you start yelling at them. Because it couldn't possibly be your team's fault you're losing. It has to be the officials.
And, oh, by the way, this week girls flag football started as well around the state. So, I mean, the officials are really getting the workout. Big time.
Yeah, my brother was there. Wes Forsyth hosted the Corky Kale girls flag. So it was great. Great event. Mm-hmm. You know, the girls can play now.
They are. They can play. You know why? Because college programs are coming along, and there are going to be some scholarships offered. Some young people, and tell you what, some young folks from our area are going to be ready to take them on. That is for sure. All right, folks. Get ready. Games are underway. We're going to be having scores for you. Next up, coaches checklist. IJ Rosenberg from Score Atlanta going to check in with us as well. It is Friday night. You listen to the Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Keeping it local.
This is the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, at 92.9thegame.com. It is the Scoreboard Show. Games underway, and while we say that, we go ahead and say, you know, hey, our scoreboard update is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Huddle up at Buffalo's. Got an early score. Commerce and Raven County, 7-7. Early in the game. No, wait a minute. Commerce is up 7-0 over Raven County.
Big whip. That would be a big night for Commerce to get that win. Region game. Ravens dominated the region. Big game to keep an eye on all night, Sam.
Osborne's up 6-0 first quarter on Pebble Brook. So those are a couple of games that are already underway, already got some scores. We're keeping an eye on the games. But as always at this time, we like to get the coaches' checklist.
Time now for Coach Parker's Coaches Checklist.
As Coach and Chris Parker get their analysis of this week's biggest stories, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Get any sized air conditioner for only $69.99 per month. Visit ReliableAir.com.
All right, Sam, this week we're going to talk about steps to play in college. We're going to talk about everybody wants to play in college, right? Yep. Everybody wants to play in college. It's hard to play in college.
Yeah, it is.
And I thought because of the week, and it's not just because I went to the University of Alabama, but we had a 17-year-old scored a game-winning touchdown. We had
– it look easy, too.
They played at Sarah Land High School last year, Mobile.
In Mobile.
My area.
Mm-hmm.
And the interception at the end of the game was made by a guy named Xavier Brown, who played at Modern Day. Played against Creekside, played at Modern Day this time last year.
Okay.
So these are guys who are playing in the SEC. And Georgia's got a couple guys that made plays that were freshmen. KJ Bolden from Buford, right?
Right.
Played the whole game, freshman. So we talked about them on this show last year. Now they're in the big league. How do you get there? Okay. And it's really hard. But I tried to talk to our guys back in the day, and I know people still talk to them about these five steps. And they go in order, meaning you got to take kind of like staircase, right?
Right.
If you got to take that first step before you can take the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. So they're not just five tips or five different things. You got to do all of them. So the first step is you got to have the grades. And I know it sounds obvious, but I think people sometimes think, well, if you're good enough, you know, if KJ Bolden's good enough, Georgia's taking him. It doesn't work like that. You have to have a GPA at a certain level, a test score that matched or whatever, or they're not taking you. And each school could be a little different. You know, Duke may take a little bit higher grade than Alabama. Okay, so Alabama may take a higher grade than like a Division II school who may have a little less minimum requirement, or even an NAIA school like Reinhardt.
Right.
You know, somewhere like that may take. So every school's got different. I wish I could tell you what your grade had to be. I can't do that. I can just tell you there is a minimum, and if you don't make it, you ain't playing there, buddy.
Yeah.
Because it's people like me in charge, you know, that's over the university or somebody, some person in a suit, like I'm sitting here with you, that says this is the rule. And the coach said, but he's a good player. Doesn't matter. Like, I can't tell you, Sam, how many guys, how many K.J. Bolden, how many Ryan Williamses, how many people I've seen not make it. That you never knew who they were. Because I know you saw some over years in Savannah, in Augusta, and here. Mm-hmm. You've seen some players that were unbelievable but couldn't make it. So if you don't have grades, you're not playing. And anybody needs to hear that, replay that, rewind. I mean, you're not. And listen to anybody. You don't believe me, go ask some other people. But if you have the grades, so if you have the grades, does that mean you are playing? No.
No.
It just means you made the first step. So a lot of people have the grades, you know, but duty had the ability. Mm-hmm. And number two, ability, that second step. You have to have the ability to play at that school. Now, the ability at Georgia may be different, even than Georgia Tech, different than Georgia State, different than Kennesaw, different than West Georgia, different than Reinhardt, Barry, Shorter. These all have different ability levels. But you got to be real with what ability do I have. Okay? And sometimes ability also fits into something people can't. Ability is the one of these steps you really don't have a lot of say over, Sam, just to be honest. You're talking about people's height and weight. You're talking about their 40 time.
Right.
You're talking about that ability to burst. I mean, the Lord only made you so tall.
Right.
So if you're 5'7" and you're killing it out there in a high school game tonight, that top group probably really is not going to look at you. They're not even going to get to step 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
You got stopped at step 2. Now, you had the grades, so you didn't get stopped at step 1.
Yep.
You at least made it to 2.
Right.
That's it. Number 3, so you got the grades. You got the height and the weight, the speed, the highlight tape to get to the next step. You get to number 3. Now, we're going to start sorting a little bit on character. Now, do we have two tight ends, one's from California, one's from Texas? We can only take one tight end. We heard this one's getting in trouble, you know, may have some legal issues, not doing right in the classroom, whatever. We're going to take the other one. So I've seen people lose opportunities in this step 3. Character.
Yeah.
Now, I'd be lying if I said I'd love for character to be first, but it's not. Ability's above character. Okay, so if you're certain ability, they're probably going to put up with a little more. There's an old story, Jimmy Johnson, when he first got to the Cowboys, he cut a guy that was sleeping in a meeting, trying to set the tone for how it was going to be. The Cowboys, this way before you was born, Dom, the Cowboys was 1-15. They were horrible. Jimmy Johnson bringing them back, right, making the new Cowboys with Troy Aikman was the quarterback, was the best player. They said, Coach Johnson, what would you have done if Troy Aikman was sleeping? He said, I walked over there and said, wake up, Troy. You know, like, I mean, right?
Right.
So
right.
Ability matters. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys.
Right.
But if things are equal, character is going to knock you off that step, right? So you got to have the grades. You get to the second step. Do you have the ability? You get to the third step. Do you have at least the minimum character they want? And if it's tied, you may be bumped by character. Then you get to that fourth step, which is work ethic. So you have the grades. You have the ability. You have the character. Are you known to be a hard worker? And things that coaches ask, this is really when your high school coach gets involved.
Right.
A lot of times the parents think that the high school coach needs to get them some exposure or something like that. That's not really a thing, to be honest. If you're a good player on tape, they see you. And if you're not, you're not. And the high school coach didn't make that. But what does happen is you get to this fourth step and they ask your high school coach. These are the questions. How hard do they work at practice? How hard do they work in the weight room? Do they show up on time? Do they love the game? Are they a good teammate? Do they take criticism well? Are they flexible? Do they stay? These are questions you're going to see. Now you've made it all the way to step 4. So say 100% of the people are on step 1, 20 get. Now you're about 80% on step 2. You got about 60%. You got about 40 here. You know, you've made it all the way to here. Now we want to know who's a worker and who's not. And your high school coach giving that recommendation or that reference, say, no, this is the first guy there. This guy works his butt off. That kind of thing is going to get you to that fifth step, which is flexibility. So you get to that last step, and it's really about look. You may say, I want to play in the SEC, but if you don't get no SEC offers, you need to play wherever I offered you.
Right.
You may say, I'm only going to play Division I. Well, if you only get Division II offers, you need to take those. You know, you may say, I'm not playing in AIA until that's an offer. So you may say, I'm not going to play anywhere but in the South, and then a school in Minnesota offers you. You know, you've got to be flexible. So you got to, summary, have the grades, have the ability, you got to have the character, you got to have the work ethic, and you got to have the flexibility. And that is our coach's checklist, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air.
Man, you know what? You know what? And those are a lot of great things you talk about. You talk about the tape. We heard it last night. We were talking with Kirk Cousins. He talked about Kadarius Hodge, who was the guy who had bounced around Prairie View.
Yeah.
And he's saying, this is a guy who had to have some tape.
He put some tape on last night, baby.
You know, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He said this is the kind of guy that has to have some tape, so that is quite important. Once again, people want to find more things, Parker Resources?
Yeah, parkerresource.org or at Parker Resource on social media.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Score Atlanta's game is about to kick off here at the top of the hour. We always like to check in with I.J. Rosenberg, who also liked the way things turned out in Tuscaloosa last Saturday night. I.J., welcome.
You know, it's interesting. When at the end of that game when Georgia scored, I mean, I had sort of said to myself that I'd be fine either way. Of course, better to get the win. But what a great football game, God. And I will tell you flat out right now, all these other programs can say what they want to say. There are not two better programs in college football. And not only do you have the two best programs, and I'm not saying they're the two best teams. I'm saying they're the two best programs. But not only do you have the two best programs, they are light years ahead of everybody else. I mean, Ohio State can say what they want. You know, Texas, until Texas goes through an SEC schedule, I'm not a big believer in them. But I'll tell you something, guys. The atmosphere, the number of recruits that were there, the coaching was just tremendous. And I will say this, it's a lot more fun without Nick Saban. And I never thought I would say that, but I really, whether this new guy is anywhere as successful as Nick, this guy he's just a cool dude. And Kirby Smart sitting there and hugging all his players while they're walking off the field. And then after the game, putting the blame on his own shoulders and giving credit to Alabama and just saying, look, we can't double cover Ryan, you know, the 17-year-old Ryan Williams kid, because if we do, that leaves them open for Milroe. And what an incredible game. And, you know, if that's anything like these two teams are going to meet again, guys. They're going to play in the SEC championship, and then I wouldn't be surprised at all if they end up playing in the playoffs.
Yep, that's very much a possibility. We have high school football back this week, and it means a lot. A lot of games, you guys didn't have a telecast last week. Games got moved around to Saturday, to Monday.
We lost our game.
Yep. In some parts of the state, people are still not playing tonight. But you got a good matchup for us tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting. We haven't done Sprayberry ever. We're at Sprayberry High School in Cobb County. It's an older school, of course. They've got a good team this year. And so they go into this game against Creekview, another team that, you know, is, you know, also sort of up and coming. And, you know, that's what we try to do. You know, when Rusty Mansell and myself sit down and pick the games, we really try to spread it out. We don't want to be at Buford every week. We don't want to be at Gainesville or Grayson or North Gwinnett. We've really tried to spread the love, and you know, I think it's working. I think this is going to be just a good football game, and it'll be interesting to see, how these kids are excited about playing on TV. Talk about exciting! You know, Wednesday night we did our first Corky Dave Hunter flag football classic, and I'll tell you something, guys, we had a great time. We had four games. We put them on Peachtree Sports Network. The girls are great, and this McEachern flag team, I think they could beat a lot of football teams.
They're pretty good. I watched them.
I'll tell you what, they can play. And what was really cool was I counted on West Forsyth's sideline, they had 81 girls dressed out.
Wow.
They had girls that looked like they were in third grade. And I'm you know, I've told you guys on the show before, I'm telling you right now that this sport, girls flag football, is going to be the next hit. It really is. And I would not be surprised. And it's not going to happen anytime soon. But think about this. All those people are in Tuscaloosa for the Georgia-Alabama game. They're getting into the stadium early, having fun. Why not play a flag football game before a regular football game? To me, that would work. And I think you're going to see that someday. Coach, what do you think about that?
You know, I never thought of that exact scenario But that actually, that's a real thing.
It is.
I guarantee you it's going to grow. I'm with you on that, IJ. I never thought of the tying it to the boys' game, but I guess like basketball to some degree. I think that is how girls' basketball started way back when.
Yep.
And, that's an interesting I'm with it. I'm in on girls' flag football.
Me too.
Yeah, I've seen the excitement the girls have for it. Yeah, I'm in.
And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with the girls because, you know, a lot of these coaches are having to deal with the fact they play softball and volleyball and stuff like that. Well, in a couple of years, it's going to switch. So instead of volleyball or softball being the number one sport for these some of these girls, it's going to be flag football, and they'll go and play softball and volleyball when it's convenient. But anyway, no, it's been glad Friday night's here. It's not a what I would call a great slate of games tonight. Sort of at the front end of reach and play. There are some good games. And, of course, you guys saw where they've taken away the off week before the state championship. So they're going to extend the season. That was a smart move. We had Tim on, the new director of the GHSA, this week on our show, and our daily show. And, he talked about it. And I think that was a really, really good move to sort of take the pressure off some of these teams. Because, I mean, both of you guys are reading the news. I mean, you know, you look at what happened in Asheville, but Augusta is, just got torn apart.
Yeah.
You know, Georgia Southern's been closed all week, and it's really sad what's happened to a lot of these areas. And we, the three of us, were very lucky because that storm was supposed to channel right through in Atlanta, and it turned east at the last minute. Yeah. What have you guys heard about Augusta National? I heard there was a tremendous amount of damage on that course.
A lot That's of literally damage all there. I've heard. Yeah, they're just
a lot of damage there, but also the Augusta National Golf Club and membership is really appeal to people to help support the recovery effort there in the Augusta area, and they're rolling up. And, of course, they're going to, stroke a check, but also the idea that they're encouraging people to give some support for the Augusta area. So
hey, how about last night? Both quarterbacks for the Falcons and the in Tampa Bay, Baker and Cousins, both each given a $50,000 towards relief. I thought that was pretty good. That was another exciting game. I mean,
is that something?
Good Lord! I mean, as easy as the Falcons could be 5-0, they could be 0-5. I mean, what a crazy season! And don't forget, I know we're talking high school, so I hate getting into all this other stuff all the time, but don't forget about the Super Bowl season. Sam, you'll remember, they opened that year with a loss to Tampa Bay at home.
Yep.
Okay? And then if you looked at their schedule, their schedule got really tough, and they ended up, I think, going 3-2 and then running the table until, they got to the Super Bowl. But this is a good team. I'll tell you, Jesse Bates is a good-looking kid.
Yeah.
If I'm a high school kid, I'm watching that kid closely because I'll tell you, he can really play.
Fantastic, fantastic. Yeah, absolutely, watch for that. And we're also going to watch for your game tonight coming up as well. IJ, we appreciate you as always spending some time with us on a Friday
night. Sure. Guys, y'all have a great weekend, okay?
All right, you too. That is IJ Rosenberg, Score Atlanta. Their game tonight is Creekview against Sprayberry. And that one's kicking off here in just a minute. As a lot of games are underway, we got some scores up there. We got Commerce and Raven are now tied at 7-7. Cherokee Bluff up 7-0 on West Hall. There's some games that are underway. Into the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have our school days guest coming up in that hour. Tim Wansley is going to join us from a Buford standout, University of Georgia, Tampa Bay Bucks, and coming up next at the top of the hour, Dr. Tim Scott, the Executive Director of the Georgia High School Association. That is coming up when you stay with us. This is Sam, it is Chris, it is Dom on the other side of the glass for the Scoreboard Show. Here's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.